and you're listening to The Seventh Reel. This week, three films, accidentally. First off is Bullet, a 1968 film directed by Peter Yates, starring Steve McQueen. Next up is The Getaway, another Steve McQueen joint, this time directed by Sam Peckinpah. And finally, 1971's Vanishing Point. This was completely by mistake because I watched that instead of The Getaway. I'm very, very sorry. But Yusuf, you picked The Getaway and Bullet. Is it just because you have the hots for the McQueen?
You always say that whenever I pick like I'm two movies with the same actor.
I know.
No. I started reading the Cinema Speculation, the Quentin Tarantino book about 70s movies. And he was talking about Bullet and how like good it was. And it made me want to watch it. And say what you will about Quentin Tarantino, but the guy really just makes you want to watch. His joy is infectious.
Yeah.
Like, it just makes you want to watch whatever he's so excited about.
It's so cool to watch it, though.
Yeah, it was fun. And the things he says, which I want to get into,
yes,
are so true. But yeah, and The Getaway, I wanted to watch a Sam Peckinpah movie, and this was a good opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's discuss what we both watched. We all watched first. Michelle, what did you think of Bullet?
Sometimes I was confused, but mostly I thought it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. It reminded me so much of Heat, Michael Mann's Heat.
Oh, really?
Towards the end, it lasts like 10 minutes, the chase. I was like, wow, this is just like that show now. Cool. Well,
I'll tell you what Higgy says about it, what Quentin Tarantino says about it. So he says the movie's mostly just like a vibe, and it's not about the plot. And the plot is sort of really confusing at times. It's like, oh, they're looking for this guy, but then actually this guy is not the guy, it's another guy. Yeah, so they are guarding the wrong guy. I think a lot of it is about, and what fascinated him the most is that this was one of the first movies he saw where the cop was like, this actual cool guy. It wasn't like a private detective or like a, you know, or just a private detective or whatever. It was an actual cop, and he wasn't just some like, you know, straight laced, boring guy or like conventional 50s archetype. Mm. It was more like he was like this hip guy wearing a turtleneck with like a cool girlfriend and like a really swanky pad and stuff like that. And
who dresses
so
cool.
He was,
his get up was so cool with the sweater, the black sweater and the pants. Oh, so cool. Couldn't get over it.
Yeah, so he was like saying how this was the best version of like San Francisco he's seen on film. Like it was filmed so well.
Beautiful.
And you get that.
Yes.
City was beautiful in the movie.
Also, like, it also incorporates the San Francisco streets in one of the most impressive car chases I've ever seen.
Yeah, wasn't that
in a movie?
Really fun?
That was insane. I knew it was. That's the one thing I knew about the movie is like, okay, there's a cool car chase in it. But I didn't expect it to be this exhilarating and fun and realistic looking. When's the last time you saw cars do turns like that and spiral out of control with such, like, I don't know, authenticity?
I liked how it's the squeaking.
Yes, it does remind me of Need for Speed. Yeah, and the squeaking.
Yeah, I like how the tires were like squeaking. Like, it was just like you could feel it. Like, just. Oh.
And when they're going down the San Francisco streets and it's just bump, 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 as they just go straight down. Oh my god, it's so cool.
And the camera inside, like,
yes.
Just seeing the dashboard, like, just boom, boom. That was really cool.
Beautifully shot movie.
Being on a roller coaster.
And not just in like the exterior San Francisco landscape shots. There's lots of like interior blocking stuff. I just thought was amazing. When he's first chasing the guy in the hospital basement, the movie just takes its time. Maybe every single time something an action scene happens, the soundtrack goes quiet, and you can just it just lets it play out, and the tension just keeps ratcheting up. I loved it. It was so fun. How do you feel about Steve McQueen as an actor?
Well, again, I'm going to go back to the book, but he talks about how he's sort of one of those, he's the best version of what he is. He's not like he says he's better than James Dean, better than Paul Newman, better than Robert Redford, because he kind of knew that he wasn't like an actor. He was just like a movie star, and that's what he played to him. And he talks also about how the reason Steve McQueen was actually like a really like popular and like effective star was his wife, because she would pick all his roles. He hated to read scripts, and he had a thing in his contract where he would charge studios $1 million if he had to read a script or something like that. And so the reason his choices were so good was because his wife actually knew what he could do and what he couldn't do, and she actually like had great taste, and she was like, oh, you should do this, not do this, and stuff like that. And then he would read the script and be like, okay, well, I guess I'll do it. So yeah.
Wow. It's good to see behind every great man is a woman who knows what she's doing. And it's like, it's great. It's also, she understands his limitations. It's like, okay, this role isn't for you. You're good at doing this specific thing. And so, which brings us to, how was he in, is he kind of playing the same sort of character in The Getaway?
More or less, yeah.
More or less.
Yeah. But a bit like, it's, The Getaway is a little more sincere in a way. And a bit more like, not sincere. It's less cynical. That's what I think of it. The Getaway is like more like a love story more than anything.
Ah.
And that's kind of, I think you would have loved it, to be honest. Shit. It's a bit too long, but I think you would have actually really enjoyed it, because it's like Before Sunset or something, but also a heist movie.
Oh my god, that's the sort of movie, yes, that's the perfect blend for me, they do the romance and the action.
Yeah, so I was actually watching it, and towards the end I was like, oh my god, I know this scene Arvin will like, I know this scene Arvin will like.
Okay, now we need to go see this. Yeah. I'm so
but
sorry.
But it is, it's a little flawed in that it's a bit too long, like that's my,
I
think, yeah.
Kind of felt that way about Bullet as well. Michelle, you were saying how like the last like act went on for so long.
Yeah, well, it's once the guy died, like everything else just felt like, where's this? What are they doing now? How are they gonna tie this up? And they don't really do that. They I don't know.
How can they possibly remake this? Like they can't set this in modern day, because they're gonna go like, no, that's not the guy, we have a picture of him here. That would be so, the entire movie would be resolved. That's sort of like the guy in witness show, they're like, that's not the witness, like it's a different guy.
Wait, are they remaking it? Oh, they are?
Spielberg is remaking it.
Why can't he do original things anymore? Except The Fablemans.
No,
I think Spielberg will set it in the '70s again. I am almost certain, like if he wants to do this again, he'll probably, because you want the car, right? You can't have this movie. Yeah. The car is like the coolest car I've ever seen in the movie. That's a Dodge. What is
a Ford?
Ford Mustang. It's a Ford Mustang. It's a Dodge Challenger in Vanishing Point. But yeah, that Mustang he was driving looks so sick. How do they? And it makes me really appreciate good. Just good filmmaking, that they are able to stage such one of the coolest car chases I've ever seen, that has blown everything the Fast and Furious movies have ever done. Like, I felt more exhilarated and felt like the characters were in actual peril and danger, probably because it just looks so real.
Well, yeah, it's not full of special effects.
Yeah.
It's not trying to look like unrealistic, it's trying to be as realistic as possible.
And when it ends so abruptly. That kind of highlights the danger, right? Because they just run into that gas pump and it explodes. It's, whoa. But Yusuf, we accidentally watched Vanishing Point. I think you will like it. It's more of a mood piece than anything. And they're just kind of like Bullet, I suppose. It's more of a vibe movie.
I'll tell you what I saw so far.
Yes.
I stopped at the scene where he took the pills and then he started driving, and then the two cops start chasing him, then he somehow
escapes. That's the first sequence,
them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't. I don't understand. Where is he going? Why does he have to?
Oh, so he basically made a bet with his drug dealers. Like, I can go from like Colorado to California within like 2 days
yeah,
or
but
something like that.
The guy and the mechanic was like, "Oh, no, why don't you rest?" And he's like, "No, I gotta."
Because he made it. Yeah, because he kept taking the uppers, and so as the movie goes on, it actually has this very interesting way of flashing back to his story. The flashbacks just occur very suddenly, and in very brief, sporadic little moments. You got just tiny little tidbits of like what he was, what his previous life was like. He was a cop, and he was, and then it's revealed later into the movie from the cops researching him because they're on a manhunt that he was a Vietnam vet. So there's the theme of like dissatisfaction with American authority starts kind of emerging because the cops become more of the central antagonist and more of a metaphysical antagonist more than anything. Because the people he runs in along the way are all like these little small American characters. It also showcases how weird, how vast and weird America is. Mm-hmm. He meets all these little characters, and it reminded me more of a Wim Wenders movie. I thought a lot about Paris, Texas while watching it. This kind of musing over this lost America, this America that has become nothing but just cop nation. Yeah, that's what I really enjoyed about the movie. And the main guy also does not look like a usual movie star. I don't know, I've never seen anything he's been in, but he just looks like this guy. He just looks like a dude. And we need to bring that back. We need more movie stars that look like a dude. The closest we have now, even Adam Driver looks too much like he's too unique looking.
That's like the thing that's in now. It's like kind of unique looking people. Yeah. Like Anya Taylor-Joy's got a weird
look,
but it works.
It works. Timothée Chalamet has a elfish look. Very Tim.
No, that guy's conventionally handsome, right?
Yes, he's good.
Oh yeah.
But again, this is the time where like we watch a Steve McQueen movie, so and he's like as handsome as they come by. Oh, I didn't know he served in the U.S. military. Okay. He was a Marine. Wow. Okay. Anything more to add regarding these films?
With Bullet, I kept getting confused about who was who. Because then, like, they don't have distinct characteristics or, like, a deep personality in any way. And they were all white men with dark brown hair. I could not tell who was who.
I had that issue as well. The only character I really recognized was like the antagonistic higher up cop because he just looks like evil Kyle MacLachlan. I just couldn't get that out of my head. I was like, oh my god, he just looks like a douchier, like shadier version of him. But I like that idea of are films in the 60s already kind of like breaking down this idea of like, oh, cop, being a cop is kind of a moral gray zone. Because, right, he has to protect the witness, but he also has, he's the main antagonistic force isn't really the mob going after him, it's the higher ups trying to like frame him for like, oh, if this like goes belly up, like you're taking the blame. Like, I thought that was very, very interesting. And more so than the kind of confusing mob stories, like, oh, who's framing who? Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything else to add?
Nope.
Okay, shall we take a break?
Let's do it.
Let's do it! And we're back. Now let's start right up. We're going to rate our pair of films. You do yours, Yusuf. Michelle, what will tell you how you're going to stack them up?
I feel like 3.5 each.
Really?
Yeah, because Bullet was confusing, but then Vanishing Point was just an entire car chase.
It's awesome. With,
I don't know, the point kind of got meandering at times.
I'm going to give 4 to Bullet, but I still really, really enjoyed Vanishing Point. I don't know why it reminded me so much of Wim Wenders movies, but it does. Yusuf, what about you?
I'm going to do 3.5. I think The Getaway was a good movie, but it was a bit too long and a little too generic of the setup. And I agree with Michelle, Bullet was like It was really beautiful to look at and had a lot of cool elements, but it was just a mess. Like, just plot-wise, it felt like I was like, wait, who's this guy? What's going on with that guy? And then you ultimately figure it out, but it was still, like, sort of left you to pick up the pieces on your own, which I appreciate, but also felt a bit unintentional. Not like they were like, we trust the audience. Anyway, so that's why.
I forgot to mention, I really liked the opening sequence of Bullet with the credits and the music. Mm. The way they kind of zoom into the text to reveal the next shot and then like next sequence. I thought that was really well done. Back when movies credit the title sequence, it's like title sequences by this guy. We should bring that back.
I like the vanishing point technique thing where the cars both stop and then one vanishes.
Oh, and it disappears? Really cool. Yeah, and it cuts to, like, that was sick. Pretty that cool. was very, very, very cool. Also a very abrupt and kind of sad ending. I liked it. All right, that brings us to what have we watched this week? What have we watched this week, Michelle?
We didn't really watch anything.
We didn't really watch much. We watched Bridget Jones' Diary.
Oh.
And I have to say, I really liked it. I thought it was very good. I thought Renee Zellweger is so charming and funny. This is Hugh Grant at the peak of his powers. Like, he looks like a god in some of the shots. I can totally see why, like, moms love him so much now. I see my mom watch, like, the second one, like, a bunch of times. Like, I totally get it now.
Nice.
Colin Firth couldn't measure up. I just don't get why she like. He just couldn't measure up. Hugh Grant looked so good. And Renee Zellweger was so funny, and her accent was okay. She's from Texas. I don't know how she does that voice. It's great. And problematic body image issues aside, it's a very nice. It's a comforting rom com that you can watch with mom.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Would you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. You said, what have you watched?
I actually watched two things. One I really loved. One I thought was actually a bit underwhelming because I think everyone hyped it up too much. So the one I really loved and everyone kept saying was great was Barbarian. So I thought that was perfect. I was like, wow.
That was good, right?
Really, really good. Yeah. Loved it. Like, absolutely from beginning to end. Just couldn't get enough of it. The one I thought was underwhelming was Prey. I watched that.
Oh.
Yeah. The Predator one.
I liked it.
I didn't hate it. I had fun watching it. It was really cool.
Do you know who directed it?
No.
It's the 10 Cloverfield Lane guy.
Oh, nice.
That's his next one. Yeah. Which a lot of things light up. It's like,
That makes sense. But yeah, it was good. It was just, it felt a bit like...
It wasn't great. It wasn't fantastic.
Yeah. But everyone just kept saying it's like the best Predator movie. And I was like, no, it's not.
No, it's not as cool as the first two. The first two are so sick. Even the second one in the city was even great. I loved that as a kid.
I liked the Adrian Brody one.
I like the Adrian Brody one too.
Yeah, it was so bad, right?
I like the Adrian Brody one too. It's not bad. This was a little too simple. The story was too simple. That's my issue.
Yeah, I think that was my issue.
More could happen. Like, and the protagonist is like, she's great, very charismatic, but they could have been given more to do.
Yeah.
What did you think about the second act of Barbarian? That's what I'm interested in. When it switches gears halfway through. So
I liked the first part a bit more, which isn't like to say that the second part was bad, but I sort of really enjoyed the tension building with this stranger.
Between the two of them.
Yeah,
He was so good. Like, what's his name?
He was perfect.
Bill Skarsgård?
Yeah, the eighth guy.
Fantastic.
He was perfect. And everything he did was so, like, it was such on the wire, like, you could interpret it as, oh, this guy is a murderer, or he's just some really, really well-intentioned guy who's trying not to come off as a murderer, and it was genuinely perfect. Like, I kept doubting myself. I was like, no, he something's going on. This guy's trying something, and then I was like, no, he's just a nice guy.
But I love it when he starts talking, like, oh, I've seen that movie, and I was like, that felt so... realistic to me. I was like, it instantly made me like him. I was like, oh, he likes movies and he's willing to talk about them. He's all right in my book. He can't be a murderer.
He Okay, for murderers out there, all you have to do to gain Arvind's trust is just say you like
to eat
or something.
I was like, oh, you're fine. I'll let down my guard entirely. Justin Long was so funny. The best F-slur drop I've heard in cinema in a very long time. Like, that was so well delivered.
Yeah, that was so funny. He's like, mom, I'll
and when
call
he,
you later.
When he saw the... and then the next thing he says,
yeah.
What's up? And when he saw the basement, and the first thought he did...
And he sees the video camera and the bed, and he's like, ah, oh, whatever. Just like continues measuring. It's so good. Yeah, so
I
liked it.
It manages to be about kind of the Me Too thing without being hitting your head over it and being condescending to the audience. He's very funny, but he's also like realistically despicable. Like, cause you know there will be guys. There are guys like this who think like this. Like when he's like calling her, he's like, "I know we can just figure it out. I just want to tell you that I'm sorry. Whatever happened, like he just couldn't see. He couldn't see past it." I thought that was really well done. And then we're not even mentioning like the horror aspect, which is I think the weaker parts of the film. I liked all of the character dynamic stuff. The setup was infinitely better than the payoff.
Yeah. But I still found it like fun and it wasn't like a letdown or anything. I thought it delivered on what it promised but it's
cool reading the director tweet about it. He's like okay, so when it's upstairs it's Fincher, when it's downstairs it's Raimi, and he wanted like make that big difference. That's really interesting.
Wow. All
right.
That's so good.
Yeah, I know. I was like, oh, I get it now. I see what you're doing. What are our recommendations?
Let me think.
Mine is Cars.
Good. Yeah, that's what has McQueen in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's McQueen.
Oh, nice. McQueen, okay, right? I didn't even pick up on the layers of... that's a cool recommendation. Okay, I gotta go with his day. Okay, The Driver, the Walter Hill movie, is pretty good.
I haven't seen that yet.
I think it's either based on The Samurai, or it's the movie Samurai is based on. Something, one of those. The Driver. Walter,
that's what more happens than The Samurai. My recommendation is The French Connection, in terms of another amazing car chase, and the sense of like grittiness, like a gritty police movie that doesn't pull any punches. I like that. Jing Han was very, very scary in it. All right, that will be my recommendation, which brings us to what we will be watching next week. We're just going to be doing one film because it's pretty long, but it's also a great movie. I've already seen it. It's Tar, Cate Blanchett's masterwork, I suppose. I can't see her as anything else. She completely owns this. I can't wait for you to see it, Yusuf.
I'm excited.
If you can get past the first 20 minutes, I would say. Because your parents didn't make it through the first.
No, turned it off.
Yeah, they turned it off. Right. Just make it past the first 20 minutes. Get past the big interview.
Well, you have to. It's for the podcast.
Yes. Yes. You have to.
It's good. I like that because otherwise I would not. So it's for the podcast.
Exactly. It's for the podcast. We're gonna. You're gonna sit through this.
Yeah.
All right. Well, keep it real. Stay safe, and we'll see you all next week.
Bye.
The 7th Reel is hosted by Arvin Huang, Michelle Hassel, and Yusuf El-Bashir. Logo by Joe Conti. Our ad break music is composed by Yusuf Sui Lin, and our outro music is composed by Yahya El-Bashir. Thanks for listening.